I will open the waiting room now.
Drottinn er minn hirðir, mig mun ekkert bresta. Á grænum grundum lætur hann mig hvílast, leiðir mig að vötnum þar sem ég má næðist njóta. Hann hressir sál mína, leiðir mig réttan veg. Fyrir sakir nafnsins, jafnvel þótt ég fari dimman dag, óttast ég ekkert illt, því þú ert hjá mér. Sproti þinn og staður hugga mig, þú býr mér borð frammi fyrir fjendum mínum. Þú smyrð höfuð mitt með olíu, bikar minn er barma fullur. Já, gæfa og náð fylgja mér alla ævi daga mína, og í húsi drottins býð ég langa ævi. Drottin er minn hirðir, mig mun ekkert bresta. Drottin er minn hirðir, mig mun ekkert bresta.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to worship at Tabernacle United Church on this Sunday in July. I'm glad to welcome each of you to worship wherever you are here and sitting in your homes in Philadelphia or beyond. I'm glad to welcome you to this time of worship. My name is Katie, Pastor Katie. My pronouns are she, her, hers, and I'm the pastor here at Tabernacle United Church. And again, glad to be here this morning. Also glad to welcome any visitors who are here for the first time. If you are visiting with us, we are glad you're here. And we invite you to fill or to let us know that you're here. If you would share your name in the chat feature, and we would love to welcome you to the service. You can also fill out the visitor card. It's a virtual visitor card. We'll put that card in the chat and you can save that link and perhaps fill out a visitor card later after the service is over. Let us know a little bit about yourself. We would love to connect further with you. I have a few announcements this morning that I'd like to share. First, I want to share that Pax, our music minister, is on vacation today. So we give thanks for that. We're excited that Pax can have some time to rest, and but we're also blessed to have some videos and other musical recordings that we'll be using today. So we give thanks for that, for those gifts. Also, I wanted to share that I will be going on vacation starting tomorrow, vacation and continuing ed for several weeks, and we'll be back the beginning of August. And I just wanted to take a moment just to give thanks for that time of rest that is coming, and also to thank all of you, the church, for supporting me and taking that break and that rest. As you know, it's been a long 15 months for a lot of folk, and certainly everyone is really in need of some rest. And I don't take that for granted, that is a gift. And so I just appreciate and give thanks for you allowing me and supporting me to do that. So I won't see you for a few weeks, but I will hopefully be refreshed and be glad to be back in August. And we'll be looking forward to that. I also wanted to share just a couple things about our service today. This is the first Sunday in July, so we will be doing communion today. So if you have, everyone is invited to participate right from your home. So if you have some elements that you could put aside for that time of communion, we will be celebrating that a little later in the service. Also, this week we'll continue our Tuesday and Thursday prayer gatherings in the mornings at 8:30. If that's something you'd like to participate in that you haven't had a chance to, we'd welcome you to be a part of those meetings. We meet again at 8:30 in the morning on Tuesday and Thursdays. We will not be having Bible study in the month of July, so no, there will not be any meetings for Bible study on Wednesdays in July. So just make note of that. We will be back in August. So those are our announcements for today. I think I've got all of those things, yes, that I wanted to share. So let's continue now in a spirit of worship in a time where we remember who we are and whose we are. Let's come together now and worship God.
Good morning. My name is Anna Grasik and my pronouns are she, her.
I'm Deb Byrne and my pronouns are she, her.
And I welcome you to our service this morning. Let's begin with the call to worship. This is the day that God is creating.
We will rejoice and be glad in it.
This is the day that God is creating.
We will rejoice because we are co-creators with God in the work of love and justice.
This is the day that God is creating.
We will rejoice because God is still creating. God is still forming us into the people we are called to be.
Let us be open to the power of God's continual creativity. Amen.
Amen. And let us now join together with our voices. Let's sing together our opening songs. Our first song is We Will Make No Peace with Oppression. And let's sing that today in that spirit of witness and love that we are called into. So let us sing together.
No peace, no peace, no peace with oppression. We will make no peace, no peace. We will make no peace, no peace, no peace with oppression. We will make no peace, no peace. Those who live by the sword will die by the sword. We will stand against violence of every form. We will march in the streets, no justice, no peace, arm in arm with our neighbor till we all stand free. Almighty God, help us not to be afraid. Almighty God, give us your strength. Oh, Almighty God, help us not to be afraid. Almighty God, give us your strength. We will make no peace, no peace, no peace with oppression. We will make no peace, no peace. We will make no peace, no peace, no peace with oppression. We will make no peace, no peace. We won't turn away from the pain of our loved ones, cries of our young ones, grieving of our elders. We won't turn away from destructive politicians. We'll overthrow the prisons, corruption in our systems. Almighty God, help us not to be afraid. Almighty God, give us your strength. Almighty God, help us us not to be afraid. Almighty God, give us your strength. Oh, oh, Almighty God, help us not to be afraid. Almighty God, give us your strength. Almighty God, help us not to be afraid. Almighty God, give us your strength. God is not confined to the pattern of this world. God is not confined to the pattern of this world. God is not confined to the pattern of this world. God is not confined, God is not confined to the pattern of this world. God is not confined to the pattern of this world. God is not confined to the pattern of this world. God is not confined to the pattern of this world. God is not confined, God is not confined to the pattern of this world. The pattern of the world is carceral, but God is not confined. The pattern of the world is brutality, but God is not confined. The pattern of the world is scarcity, but God is not confined. Yes, we know God is not confined. God is not confined to the pattern of this world. God is not confined to the pattern of this world. God is not confined to the pattern of this world. God is not confined to the pattern of this world. God is not confined, God is not confined to the pattern of this world. In God we know, God will make it so. In God we know, God will make it so. We will not confine to the pattern of this world. We will not confine to the pattern of this world. We will not confine to the pattern of this world. We will not confine, we will not confine to the pattern of this world. The pattern of the world is carceral, and we have been confined. The pattern of the world is brutality, and we have been confined. Pattern of the world is scarcity, and we have been confined. But in God we will not confine, we will not confine to the pattern of this world. We will not confine to the pattern of this world. We will not confine to the pattern of this world. Sing it with me, sing. We will not confine to the pattern of this world. We will not confine, we will not confine. confined to the pattern of this world. In God we go, we will make it so. In God we go, we will make it so.
Please join me in the opening prayer. May the path that Christ walks to bring justice upon the earth, to bring light to those who sit in darkness, to bring out those who live in bondage, to bring new things to all creation, may this path run through our life. May we be the road Christ takes. And now join me in our prayer of confession. Forgive us when we forget to praise you, when we turn your love into legalism, your freedom into slavery, your promises and gifts into demands and duties. Forgive us when we forget we are your people and we make your church an exclusive club. Forgive us when we forget that Jesus is our contemporary, and we lock him up in forms and customs, words and structures, and even literally behind bars. Forgive us, merciful God. Holy One, you make all things new. Your mercy is new every morning. When we confess our sins, God meets us there and transformation can happen. Through confession, we are set free to new life in Christ and with one another. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are set free.
Amen. And now let's take a moment as we rejoice in that freedom and the peace that Jesus gives us to pass that peace to one another. So let's take a moment now. You will go to gallery view and you can unmute. Let's greet one another with the signs of Christ's peace. And may the peace of Christ be with each of you.
And also with you.
Peace of Christ to everyone.
Peace. Good morning.
Peace, everyone.
Peace of Christ be yours.
Peace be with you.
Thank you.
Chris and Ray.
With you.
To see you. Peace be with you.
Someone is in the car.
Peace, Alaska.
Peace.
Hi, Dick and Eloise.
Good morning.
I'm here. Hi.
Hello, Sana. Where are you going? Where are you driving to?
I'm going to a church in Minneapolis to preach this morning.
Wow. Whoa, yay. What's the name of the church, Sana?
Chapel Hills, and it's in Edina, which is right outside of Minneapolis.
Right.
Peace and blessings, Sana.
Blessings.
I'm with you.
Thank you.
This is Lisa Jacobs, and looks like your mom's there.
Hi, Lisa.
Hello, hello.
Is that your mama?
It sure is.
Wonderful.
Great in Philadelphia?
We are in Portland, Oregon.
Oh, wow. Wow. I thought it was hot there.
It was.
Finally got a little breath of air.
Yeah, also early.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's really early.
It's only 7 o'clock there.
Enjoy your time.
Thank you.
Amazing.
Elizabeth and
Hi, Amanda.
It's Janetta. Good to see you. Peace.
Peace, Ron.
And peace to you also.
Good morning, peace, Virginia.
Morning.
Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Susan.
Good morning, Catherine. See you.
Hi, again. Auntie Laura.
Good morning.
Hooray.
Our first reading today is from Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 to 29. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
We want to invite the children and young at heart and anyone who wants to draw close to the screen for the children's time today to come now. If you would like to be a part of a smaller circle of folks who are spotlighted for this time, you can raise your hands. Just go to the reactions button in the lower right-hand corner and click on raise hand, and we will spotlight you for this time. So let's come together now for the children's time and sing together.
You are a child of God. You are a child of God. Let your light shine bright to the world. You are a child of God.
Good morning. My name is Deb Burnham. My pronouns are she and her. And today we're going to talk about thunder and lightning and big rain and how people react and animals react to it. We had some thunder and lightning and rain this past week. Sometimes people are not afraid at all. Other times people are terribly, terribly afraid of thunder and lightning, even when they're not afraid of anything else. So this is a this is a book about people who really aren't afraid, but who understand that it's okay. So I'm going to read the words and then show you the pictures. It's called When the Storm Comes. So what do you do when the clouds roll in, when the wind chimes clang and the weather vanes spin? We watch, we sniff. We prick our ears, we listen as the rumbling nears. We count supplies, we check the news, we find our comfort spot, we snooze. So you've got the foxes who are listening and the humans who are getting ready. And down there is the cat who just says, I'm just going to take a nap. Sometimes animals get very afraid of it. So it is starting. Where do you go when the sky turns gray, when grasses bend and treetops sway? So here is a boy who is running very fast toward his house with his dog, and his mother is there calling him, saying, come in, come in. We gather here beneath the eaves. We roost between some sturdy leaves. We put our busy work aside and buzz back to the hive to hide. We find a small protected space, a hollow log, a sheltered place. So this part of the story tells about how different animals take shelter. There are birds under the roof, and the bees go back to the hive, and the bunnies go into a log. And they're going to be safe. What do you do when the buoys rock, when the waves crash hard against the dock? The things are getting very, very strong. You can see how the lake or the ocean is very, very rough, and the sky is getting darker and darker. We ride a blast of stormy air. We find a cove. It's safer there. We dodge the weather if we can. We swim down deep away from land. So here we have the gulls who find a safe place, and the whales who go all the way down, way, way below the storm where it's safe. They can do that. We close, we cover, latch, and tie. We bring things in to keep them dry. So now we're back to humans. They're fixing, they're tying down the boats, and they're bringing in all the outdoor furniture so it won't blow away and get really wet. Then lightning cracks and thunder roars. It shakes the shuttles, rattles doors. The rain pours down. The sky turns slate. Oh, so this is the big, big storm. The sky is very, very dark gray. You can see lightning. You can see the rain is so very, very strong. And everybody's inside now, and they're safe. Some people inside might be still afraid of the thunder. That's all right. We hunker down to watch and wait. So there are the bunnies in the log, and they see the rain, and there's a girl and her cat inside her room looking outside and seeing how strong that rain is. Ah, here are humans doing something fun. We play a game by candlelight, tell some stories, curl up tight. We listen to the rainfall rush, then plop. Plop, hush, the rain stopped. What do you do when the storm has passed, when the sun comes out and it's calm at last? So you can see the ocean or the lake is very calm, the sun's out, but now there's some trees have fallen down. But everything's okay now, no more thunder. We leave our dens, we scout, we fly. So all the animals are coming out, seeing. Then humans, we clean things up, we sweep and rake, we haul debris, we mix and bake. Ooh, what's the mixing and baking part about? We check on neighbors, make repairs, bring out tables, pull up chairs. They are going to have a party. And all of these people, these three right here, are carrying food. And so everyone is going to share the food and settle in and enjoy the calm and the sun and have a really good time. So, like I said, it's okay to be afraid of thunder and lightning. Many people who aren't afraid of anything else are terribly afraid of thunder and lightning. So what you can do is ask an older human to give you a hug or just stay with you. and then it will go away. So thank you for listening. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Deb, for that story and reminder. This morning, we are continuing on with Galatians. And so I'm going to read this next portion from Galatians chapter 5, just verse 1, and then 13 to 25. So this is a little bit of a mouthful, just warning you ahead of time. So settle in with some coffee or whatever can make you restful and open to these words. So let's hear now this reading from Galatians 5. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, my siblings, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. On the contrary, through love, be genuine servants of one another. For the whole of the law has been brought to completion in one sentence: you shall love your neighbor as yourselves. But if you act like wild animals, hurting and harming each other, then watch out, or you will completely destroy one another. Lead your daily life guided by the Spirit, and in this way you will not end up carrying out the impulsive desire of the flesh. For the flesh is actively inclined against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Indeed, these two powers constitute a pair of opposites at war with one another, the result being that you do not actually do the very things you wish to do. If, however, in your daily life of your communities, you are being consistently led by the Spirit, then you are not under the authority of the law. Now, the works of the flesh are clear: fornication, vicious immorality, uncontrolled debauchery, the worship of idols, magical religion, irreconcilable hatred, strife, resentment, outbursts of rage, greed, dissensions, separation into divisive cliques, grudging envy of a neighbor's success, bouts of drunkenness, nights of carousing, and other things of that sort. I warned you before, those who practice things of this sort will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law does not forbid things of this kind, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh together with its passions and desires. This is challenging, but it is holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us take now a moment, if you would, pray with me. Gracious God, I thank you for words of challenge, and I thank you for our ancestors in the faith, our spiritual ancestors who bring light to your word. And I thank you this morning, God, for the witness and life of Frederick Douglass, who has so influenced and shaped the interpretation here that we receive today. God, I ask that you would speak in spite of me. I ask that you would speak through me, and that the words of my heart, the words of my mouth and my heart, and the meditation of all of our hearts would be to your glory. Amen. So last week, if you were here, Sana and I did a tag team sermon where we both preached on the topic or theme of freedom in Christ. And I decided that I just couldn't quite get enough of that theme, and so wanted to kind of tag team from last week's sermon and to just keep that theme going this morning. I felt like it was also a theme that would be appropriate for today on this 4th of July holiday. And so just want to kind of do a little bit of recap and kind of connecting with some of the things we talked about last week. One of the things to understand here in Paul's writing to the Galatian community is what we spoke about last time as it concerns baptism. When Paul is speaking about baptism, he talks about baptism as a kind of rebirth where we come out of the waters, initiated into Christian life. And when we come into that new life, we are experiencing a new kind of freedom, which he calls freedom in Christ. And freedom in Christ is this kind of power. It's something that is unleashed, in other words, in our baptism. Sana and I asked last week, what does this freedom in Christ mean? What does it look like? And we talked about how it's not the kind of freedom that we hear talked about in American popular understandings of freedom. For example, freedom in the American context is a freedom to kind of have the right to do anything I want. A freedom, for example, I have the right to carry weapons. I have the right to not wear a mask. I have the right to get rich, to burn up the world with fossil fuels. At least for me as a white American, I have the quote, legal rights to do these things. I have that kind of freedom, right? So we talk in the American context about freedom often in those terms. This is not the kind of freedom that Paul is speaking about. When Paul speaks about freedom in Christ, he is always talking about a freedom that has a responsibility to the other. It is a freedom rooted in love, a kind of radical love of the other, including creation. And so this is a really important thing to remember as we come into the context of and talk about freedom in Christ. And I can imagine if Paul were alive today, I think Paul, and I know I understand I'm taking a little bit of liberty here in thinking about Paul in our modern day, but I think there's some grounding here to say that I think the popular understandings of American freedom is an example of what Paul would call the flesh, the workings of the flesh. Now, you will often hear Paul talk about these two contrasts, the flesh and the spirit. That's a very, he uses those terms very frequently. He'll talk about the desires of the flesh versus the desires of the spirit, the works of the flesh versus the fruits of the spirit. Now, it's very important that we do not fall into the trap of understanding the flesh as him speaking of the material world, of the material physical body, versus the spirit as just this kind of spiritual world that's detached from the body. It's easy to make that mistake with those terms, but it is truly a misunderstanding of the text and the context. When Paul says the flesh, I want to invite us to think about that in terms of capitalizing the word flesh. Think about it as a power, like the power. It's a shorthand for describing the world's sinful and broken systems. Think of it that way. You might use a different word. Like you might say the flesh is the way of the empire. You might say the flesh is the power of white supremacy. Or you might call it slaveholder religion. You might call it the world's sinful systems. All of those are actually fine interpretations of the flesh because they get at this important point that Paul is making. And that is that the flesh is this kind of suprahuman power that is at work outside of us, but it also is at work inside of us, despite our longing to be free. So he is using the flesh as a shorthand to talking about the world's sinful structures at work. So I can imagine Paul contrasting today American popular notions of freedom with the desires of the flesh, because American popular notions of freedom without responsibility to your neighbor, freedom rooted in greed and selfishness, and individual rights to do whatever I want without respect to the other, those are signs of the flesh at work. In contrast is living according to the Spirit, Paul says, where the fruits are love, patience, joy, generosity, sharing, gentleness, self-restraint. These are the fruits of the Spirit. Now, baptism as this kind of initiation into this new kind of freedom in Christ, where we die to popular American notions of freedom and then are reborn into freedom in Christ. I think it's important to make that connection. And what I want us to hold on to today is this thing, is this, that the freedom to which we are called is an emancipatory freedom that has to do with actual bodies, actual lives and bodies. It has to do with structures of supremacy being broken down and bodies and lives freed. Freed from old categories that separate us from one another, categories that make one person inferior to the other, categories that make one person superior to the other. These categories are broken down and they are absolved, Paul says, in our baptism. There is no longer Jew or Greek, no longer slave or free, no longer male and female. We are one in Christ Jesus. That's why it's important that we don't see flesh as being about the body and spirit about the soul. Because baptism actually has to do with bodies, emancipating people, emancipating the master from his legal right of superiority, emancipating the enslaved from their status as property of someone else. On September 23rd, 1667, there was a law that was passed in Virginia. It declared that Black enslaved people who had been baptized were not exempt from bondage. The law stated that baptism would not require an enslaver to end a Black person's enslavement. Now, let me ask you this. Why would you need legislation like that? Why would you need to legislate in 1667 that a person's status as the property of a white man would not be changed in baptism? You would only need to create a law like this if you knew that there was something about baptism that had to do with emancipating actual bodies. You would only create a law like this as a white person if you were afraid that baptism had material and social implications for you and for the one who, quote, belonged to you. There were political, material, and social implications in baptism, but damn that, they said, the power of the flesh at work again. The power of that of the flesh at work in white people at this time, and yes, into the very present day today, the desire and continual legislation of supremacy over Black and brown and indigenous lives. These early slaveholders with the Bible in one hand and white supremacy in the other effectively said, damn you, Holy Spirit, we are going to legislate against this. What I find remarkable is that even the early colonial slaveholders in the mid-1600s had a sense of the revolutionary implications of baptism and what baptism would actually do to challenge the institution of slavery and supremacy, so much so that they had to legislate against it. That's something to sit with, isn't it? This early Virginia law contributed to the development of, quote, Christian interpretations of scripture that would support the institution of slavery in years to come. And some 200 years later, Frederick Douglass would begin to talk about how the white church in this country is effectively a church of the flesh, to use Paul's language there. It's not Christian, really. It's something else. It's slaveholder Christianity parading itself as Christian. And Frederick Douglass gave a speech on the 4th of July in 1852. And I want to just read a portion of that, of his speech. And pardon the lack of inclusive language here. I want to keep the original language. The church of this country Douglas says, is not only indifferent to the wrongs of the slave, it actually takes sides with the oppressors. It has made itself the bulwark of American slavery and the shield of American slave hunters. Many of its most eloquent preachers who stand as the very lights of the church have shamelessly given the sanction of religion and the Bible to the whole slave system. They have taught that man may properly be a slave, that the relation of master and slave is ordained by God, and that to send back an escaped bondman to his master is clearly the duty of all the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this horrible blasphemy is palmed off upon the world for Christianity. For my part, I would say, welcome infidelity, welcome atheism, welcome anything, in preference to the gospel as preached by this church. What to the American slave is your 4th of July? Fellow citizens, pardon me, allow me to ask, why am I called upon to speak here today? What have I or those I represent to do with your national independence? Are the great principles of political freedom and of natural justice embodied in the Declaration of Independence extended to us? I am not included within the pale of this glorious anniversary. Your high independence only reveals the immeasurable distance between us. The blessings in which you this day rejoice are not enjoyed in common. The rich inheritance of justice, liberty, prosperity, and independence bequeathed by your fathers is shared by you, not by me. The sunlight that brought life and healing to you has brought stripes and death to me. This 4th of July is yours, not mine. You may rejoice, I may mourn. End quote. That was July 4th, New York, 1852. Here we are, July 4th, Philadelphia, 2021. That's 169 years ago. My great-great-grandparents were alive then. It's not that long ago. I heard Douglas's words echo in my mind the other day as I walked around in Target. I was looking for some shoes, summer shoes for Oscar, and I was walking around the aisles there, and the red, white, and blue cookies and cupcakes and the American flag blow-up swim toys and the American flag umbrellas. And I gazed upon all these toys and trinkets there. And then I remembered that earlier that morning, I read about a new edition of the Bible that's coming out in September. It's called God Bless the USA Bible. So that's going to be available in September. And emblazoned on the cover is the American flag. There's nothing wrong with enjoying some red strawberry and blue blueberries on top of a white cake. It's delicious. Or today or tomorrow, there's nothing wrong with taking the day to rest. I hope you do. We need rest. We need days off. I'm all for that. But if you feel some tension today on this holiday, if you feel some dis-ease, and even more than that, if you feel some anger, some sadness, because today you know that Frederick Douglass's words in 1850 true were not only prophetic then, but are prophetic and true now, then I'm right there with you. I'm in that tension and dis-ease with you. In fact, I hope and pray that as Christians who want to be Christian, not nominally Christians, not in name only, but actually Christians who have known and tasted and experienced the life-giving, emancipating gospel of Jesus Christ, that we would listen to that tension that we feel today. There should be a dis-ease that we feel today, because I think that disturbance we feel is emanating from the very Spirit of God. It's the same Spirit that disturbed the early colonial slaveholders, beckoning them to claim a baptism that emancipates and frees and transforms structures of supremacy. The Holy Spirit was at work and will not rest today nor stop disturbing us until all of God's children are truly free. We have a responsibility through the freedom we have in Christ to ask ourselves today, who are those in our country who are denied freedom, equality, and citizenship? Who is denied freedom today because of the sins and the whitewashing of the past? These are not partisan, unpatriotic political questions. These are Christian questions. These are Christian questions. These are the questions that Jesus would ask, because Jesus came to bring good news to the poor, to set captives free. He would ask, who is not free? So perhaps there are some things we can do on this holiday to embrace the tension and disease that I believe is from the Spirit. I think we can listen to it. We can claim some time this weekend for reflection. And I would invite you, perhaps you've never read Frederick Douglass's 4th of July speech in its entirety. I would invite you to do it. It's long. It's really deep and powerful. Take some time to read it. And then perhaps you can return to Galatians 5:1. Read verse 1 and 13 through 15 again. Write it down in your journal and think about what those words might mean to you today, to live into the kind of freedom that Christ calls us into. What are the implications of that freedom on your life today? What are the implications of this calling on our life as a community? And be open to the Spirit disturbing you, challenging you in the tension that you feel today, reminding us of our deeper calling that we have as children of God. That though we may rest, and we must rest temporarily, rhythmically throughout our lives, we need rest, but in the fuller and deeper sense, we cannot rest until all of God's children are free, and the Spirit will not let us rest until all of God's children are free. Amen.
Use me to do your will on earth, to do your will on earth. Use me to do your will on earth, to do your will on earth. Teach me, Lord, to do the work that you have me do. I won't be afraid, knowing you will see me through. Guide me, Lord, to know the ways that you would have me grow. Use me. to do your will on earth, to do your will on earth. Use me to do your will on earth, to do your will on earth.
I'd like to invite you to our time of offering. It's a time when we can give freely of the gifts that we have been given. Our stewardship is one way that we are co-creators with God of a more just and loving world. Let us share now our offering in the name of Jesus Christ. As Katie spoke about the flesh and the spirit today, in this offering, we have taken a portion of our worldly possessions, those of the flesh. Let us put them towards God's holy work, towards the emancipation of God's children. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Anna. This is the time in our service where we open up our worship to your voice and your prayers, the prayers that are on your hearts. So all of us are welcome to use the chat function now to reflect on the service and to bring our joys, our concerns, or any struggles we have into God's presence out loud, and also into the presence of the community so that we can be holding our prayers in common, shouldering one another's burdens and lifting up and celebrating with one another in joy as well. So take a moment now, if you would, to if there's anything you'd like to share, and Anna will read those prayers as they come through. So let's take some time now and lift up what is on our hearts and bring those requests and joys before God.
From Dick Fernandez, prayers for Eloise, who will receive a new mitral valve this coming Thursday at HUP. From Ariana, prayers as I study for my architecture exams. From Ginny, prayers for rest and restoration to Katie, Heather, and Oscar during the coming weeks. From Deb, I'd like to pray for traveling mercies for Katie and Heather, and all those in transition. From Donald, prayers for my friend Steve Newman, who is having an operation this week. From Gregory, prayers for the women and girls in Afghanistan as the American troops leave and a vacuum is left for unrest and oppression of them. From Amanda, the mental health of my family and friends could really use some prayers, particularly my sibling Caleb and my friend Jamie. My partner Stefan and I are also undergoing some med changes, so prayers for that as well. From Gwyneth, prayers of thanksgiving for your message today and prayers for the way forward to erase the attitudes of slavery that persist in our nation and those still enslaved throughout the world. from Elizabeth and Ray. Prayers of thanksgiving for our friends Em and Monica, who just welcomed baby Luca. From Susan, prayers for the Thompson family as they continue their walk to complete freedom. From Amanda, my friend Chrissy just had a beautiful, healthy baby girl who she will be raising as a single mother. Prayers of thanks and hope for them. From Jim, prayers of thanks that my brother Paul received a good report on his progress from the surgeon this week.
Thanks to all who have shared the prayers of their hearts. The scriptures tell us that when we struggle to find words, and that sometimes we can't find words or we can't pray or know how to pray as we ought. And in those moments, the Spirit intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. So that might be happening to you right now. Where you don't necessarily have language or words, but in this moment, the Spirit is interceding and working through you and praying through you, even in our sighs and in our innermost parts where words haven't formed. So God hears the silent prayers as well as those that we have spoken out loud, and we give thanks for that promise. So we lift up all of these prayers. And we're going to transition now as we hold these prayers and bring the prayers that have been shared as well as ourselves. We bring ourselves to God's table. And so we're going to move now to the table. And I want to invite you to, if you can take a moment, if you haven't already, to prepare the elements that you need to set aside for this sacrament. And remember that there are no boundaries to God's love or to this feast, that all of us are welcome just as we are, with all our questions, our doubts, our wonderings. God invites us just as we are to God's table. And so we're going to sing now our invitational song this morning. Listen, Lord, listen to your children praying. Let's listen and sing together. And if you need to take that opportunity as we're singing to get some elements for communion, let's do that now. Let's sing together.
Lord, listen to your children pray. Send your Spirit in this place. Lord, listen to your children praying. Send us love, send us power, send us grace. Lord, listen to your children praying. Lord, send your Spirit. Love, send us. send us love, send us love, send us power, send us grace.
You would like to join me by laying your hands ever so gently on the elements. And let's pray together the prayer of blessing over the bread and the wine or juice or water, whatever you have. Let us pray. We thank you, loving Creator, for by your word and your spirit, you made the heavens and the earth, filled them with life, and declared everything good. It is through your goodness, O God, that we have this bread and juice to offer, this meal that we celebrate that is a meal of freedom, a meal that reminds us of our freedom in you and the access we have to you, each of us. God, we thank you. We thank you that in the sharing of this bread, we know and can taste the power of your healing, your liberation, your resurrection. What we do here is celebrate the life that Jesus shared among his community through the centuries and shares among us now. Made one with Christ and thus one with each other, we offer these gifts and with them ourselves, a single, holy, living sacrifice. Amen. We remember that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it and he blessed it and he said, "This is my body. It's broken for you. Every time you eat this, remember me." And in the same way, he took the cup and poured it out and blessed it and said, "This cup is poured out for you. It is my blood. It is my new covenant shared for you. My blood shed for you. Every time you drink this, remember me." And so I invite us now to take the bread, eat it. This is the bread of life that is broken for you. And take the cup, drink it. This is the cup of freedom, the cup of mercy poured out for you.
Santo, 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 mi corazón te adora, mi corazón te sabe decir, santo eres, Señor. Santo, 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 mi corazón te adora, mi corazón te sabe decir, santo eres, Señor.
Let us pray. O Christ, we thank you for this feast of life, fed by your love and strengthened by your life. We humbly accept your call to go into this world to live with hope, to share your joy. You commission us to feed as we have been fed, forgive as we have been forgiven, and love as we have been loved. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us join now in the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying together, Our Mother, Father, Parent, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
The peace of the earth be with you, the peace of the heavens too. The peace of the rivers be with you, the peace of the oceans too. Deep peace falling over you, God's peace growing in you. The peace of the earth be with you, the peace of the heavens too. The peace of the rivers be with you, the peace of the oceans too. Deep peace falling over you, God's peace growing in you.
For you are called to freedom, my siblings. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of bondage. Let's take those words from Paul into our week, into our day, and remember that the Spirit of the living God is moving and acting in our midst and will not rest until all of God's children are free. So if the Spirit is moving and disturbing you and reminding you of that today, good, embrace it. And ask yourself, let's ask one another, how can we live more fully into this call and of the liberatory work of Jesus for all of us? So let's remember those words as we go into whatever we are doing today. And may the peace of Christ and the knowledge and love of God grow and abide with you today and this week. Amen. And if we